Welcome to the Consistency Corner podcast, where we delve deep into the heart of content strategy, branding, and the art of simplifying your marketing approach. I'm your host, Ruthie Sterrett, a Midwest native now soaking up the Florida sun and a proud mom of an energetic eight-year-old and the passionate force behind the Consistency Corner. Each episode will bring you actionable insights, unfiltered conversations on life as a mompreneur, and tips to elevate your brand with consistency. Whether you're a budding business owner or someone just eager to find clarity in the digital marketing maze, you found your corner. Join me as we navigate a path to success you can be consistent with, and together bring out the brand sparkle so that you can make an impact and an income. Hey there. Before we dive into today's episode, I've got something sparkly for you. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the constant need to post and engage on Instagram? Do you ever wish that you could just like step away from the daily grind and still leave a lasting impression? Or maybe you haven't been posting and you're letting that guilt weigh on you because you know as a business owner, you can do better with your presence on social media. Well, then the Done For You 9 Grid is a way to make your dream become a reality. What you'll get is a custom-tailored Instagram strategy, beautifully designed squares, captivating captions, and the peace of mind knowing your profile tells your brand story perfectly. Whether you're preparing for a busy season or you just want to focus on other areas of your business, let me help you shine on Instagram without the hassle and overwhelm. Sound too good to be true? It's not. If you want in, grab the link in the show notes to learn more about the Done For You 9 Grid and fill out an application to book a call for your very own custom 9 Grid. All right, now let's get to the episode.
All right, buckle up, friends. You got an unfiltered episode coming at you. I have no script. I have no outline. I'm just fired up about something and realized that I wanted to record a podcast on this. And it all started with looking at my email list and writing my Friday email yesterday. So real life situation, I'm recording this on a Friday. I typically write my Friday emails on Thursday. And I typically try to kind of just respond to what's going on in life. I want my emails to provide value. I want them to be inspiring. I want them to build relationships with my audience, right? And as I was writing that email before I went to write it, I looked at my open rates and click rates over the past few months and noticed that they have been dropping. I was averaging around 45 to 50% in 2023. From the beginning of January till now, that's dropped to under 40%. So it's somewhere around 37, 38%. And typically unsubscribes are around 1% per email, sometimes 0%, which is not a huge deal. But I thought, okay, what is this data telling me? And what is the dip in open rates, dip in click rates, and dip in sales? Because I will be transparent here. My revenue is 22% down year over year from this March to last March. What is all that telling me? Because data is information. Okay. And like, here's the whole reason I wanted to record this on the podcast, because I think it's important that we have transparent conversations as women in business with each other about these things, because the internet wants to sell us the sexy solution, the quick fix, the I made $30,000 in 30 days. And my community, who I've had a lot of conversation with recently, is tired of that narrative. But guess what? We still fall for it because as humans, we want a quick solution. We want the easy button. We just wish it was a thing, even if we know it's not. I mean, y'all, I bought this challenge the other day. It's like, it was $23 and it was like land a new client in 23 days. And I paid $23 for it. And it's like a series of videos. And guess what? This lady is telling me things that I already know. It's nothing new. It's not new information. And it's not actually helping me move the needle with her $23, 23-day challenge. So mostly it was a waste of money because I fell for the marketing claim, right? At the end of the day, this stuff is complex. The market is always changing. You've got to figure stuff out on the back end for your own messaging, your offer, so much. And we talk about that a lot here on the podcast. But back to my point with my emails. So my email list has quadrupled. over the past year. And I've participated in a lot of bundles and summits to grow my email list, which has worked, right? My top of funnel strategy, which is one of my attract strategies for my business, has been to leverage bundles and summits to grow my list. I like bundles and summits. I've got to meet a ton of cool people. My community has grown a ton by participating in these. I've found other people that I want to work with, that I wanted to purchase their offers. But here's the caveat. But I've grown my list, it appears, with a large audience of people who are not ready for my offer. And when I say that, that's what the data is telling me. While my list is full of amazing, kind people, I have people who literally will reply to my emails and say, this was a great email, or thank you for saying this, which shout out if you're one of those people, I appreciate you. Might not always respond because my inbox is out of control. But I do appreciate that feedback. And I appreciate that when you write these emails and send them out into the like void of the world, that people, you know, get value from it, because that's what I really want to do with those emails, particularly our Friday newsletter. Now, is email marketing a sales tool? Absolutely. And do I send sales emails? Yes, I do. And if you're not, you better be sending sales emails, because people won't buy if you don't do any selling, which that's a whole nother topic that we can have a conversation on about the mindset around selling. But bottom line is I have built my email list through bundles and summits, which if you're not familiar with a bundle or summit, it's where I provide a resource, which is typically a paid resource, which in my case, it's generally a template for building a 9-grid. I normally sell that for, you know, $27, $37, $57, whatever it is. And in the summit, you can get it, or the bundle, you can get it for free. So whoever is hosting the bundle, you give them your email address. They give you access to all of these resources that other business providers or business owners have provided. And then to get my individual list or item or anybody's item, you opt in to their email list, right? Typically what happens in bundles is people are opting into lots of free resources at once because they're limited times. You got to get them while they're available. And there's a sense of urgency there, right? And I've participated in bundles too. I've signed up for people's bundles and downloaded things. And guess what I do? I let the thing collect digital dust in my inbox and I never actually use it because I don't have time to actually use the thing. So I don't even know how valuable the thing is because I never got to it, which people who are in that situation of they have a business that is making money, they're serving clients, they're busy, right? And so DIY resources, while they might seem really appealing, don't actually serve them. So, okay, what I've deduced from all of this is that the free resources that I've given in my bundle to my audience, while they might be valuable, while they might help a few people, and I'm grateful that they have, what I have done is I have built an audience of people who are not interested in my high ticket offers yet. They might be someday down the road, but the people that have opted into my email list for a free DIY tool are not ready to spend $1,500 or more on a done for you package. Now, that doesn't mean they never will be, but it's a long lead time, right? And so my sales and my conversion rates are not what I want them to be. Now, another strategy or a way to do this would be if I had a robust library of low-ticket digital products, then I could probably sell a lot and have a much higher conversion rate and drive more revenue, or what we call, sometimes people call it passive income, by selling additional courses or workshops or tools or templates that are also low ticket, meaning under $100. But here's the thing, building every single one of those products is a heavy lift. You've got to build the actual product. You've got to build the sales page. You've got to build an email sequence behind it. You've got to market the product. And it's a lot of work. When your email list is 10,000 people, 20,000 people, 30,000 people, those $7, $17, $27 items can be really lucrative because you have a larger audience to sell it to. But if your audience is, you know, 1,000 people, 1,500, 2,000 people, or less, under 1,000, we're not going to make a whole lot of money off of a $17 item. And so when we look at time for money, you got to figure out where you to put your capacity, because none of us have unlimited capacity. And in my business today, what I need to be doing is filling my high ticket offer. And in the world of online business and in coaching, you hear a lot about building your offer suite and income stacking and this and that and so many strategies, and none of them are wrong. It's just what's right now. And I've talked a little bit about this in my business journey, that I started out wanting to build an agency and being a service provider, helping people take marketing off their to-do list. But somewhere along the lines, I got kind of confused in whether or not I'm a service provider or a coach. And that messaging can get a little bit muddled. Now, do I like coaching? Absolutely. Do I like collaborating and brainstorming with people? 100%. I love it. But if you're new to the podcast, you may not know that last spring I launched a group coaching program that totally flopped. I sold zero. And so when I looked at that situation and reflected and realized, like, okay, I got to make some changes in my business to meet my income goals. From there, instead of going back to my high ticket done for you offer, I pivoted again and said, oh, I'm going to sell a membership. I'm going to launch a membership, which I did. And I sold some and I had some great people in my membership. But by the end of the year, I hadn't added any new people to it. And the people that had joined weren't even using the membership. So it was time for money that didn't make sense. So I shut down the membership, and in conversations with my coach, realized, looking at the financial aspect, the numbers, the projections, that I needed to focus on the high ticket offers. The membership, the mid ticket offers, even the low ticket digital products could come as layers onto my business in the future once I had filled my high ticket offers to capacity, so that I could hit those income projections that I needed to build a savings account for my business, to hire a team, which, let's be honest, when I decided I wanted to start an agency, that was the whole point. I want to be able to hire a team. I want to be able to hire other women and give them that flexibility to do work they love in their zone of genius and be able to take care of themselves and their families with a flexible schedule. Like, that's the vision that's placed on my heart. So what did I learn from all of this? And what did I share in my email that I feel like maybe that wasn't the right thing, but I'm going to explain. So I shared in my email list that I've been building my audience with the wrong audience. And if you're on my email list, thank you. I'm appreciative and I'm incredibly grateful that you're there. But the numbers are telling me that I'm doing something wrong. The data is indicating that this isn't working because the conversion rate isn't there. The open rates are dropping. So I'm using this information as facts, not feelings. But from those facts, I've got to figure out what my action is going to be. So because I'm all about taking you behind the scenes on the journey on this podcast, I'll break it down in that I'm really working on and have been working on literally for months exactly what is my offer, what is the problem that it solves through both my CMO strategy plus implementation retainer and my done for you 9 grid. Those two offers, because they're my high ticket and mid ticket, who do they serve? Who is my ideal client? Which, y'all, that is a lot of work to really niche in and really define who your ideal client is. And in my corporate background, I was able to do that for the company that I was leading really effectively. And when I did, and when I kind of led the team to really hone in on who the ideal client was, get super clear on their needs and niche down, which we hear about and talk about a lot, there was pushback. There was like, well, if we talk to that person, then this person over here isn't going to buy from us because then we're excluding them. But when you talk to everybody, nobody listens. And when you talk to one person, other people eavesdrop. And even though I know that and I can help clients with that messaging really, really easily, it's hard to do for yourself. It's hard to say that from a done for you CMO strategy plus implementation, I want to focus on service providers in the retail space who serve retailers, because that makes me feel like, oh my gosh, but I'm like, there's so many other people that I could help. And I also want to help these people. And I like these people. And I want to work with these kind of people. So to say that out loud in my messaging, it's scary. But right now I'm talking to everybody. And so nobody's listening. So it's time to get really honed in on who I'm talking to. And I listened to a podcast a couple of years ago. I don't remember whose podcast it was, but the guest was Jewel Solomon. And she talked about if your revenue isn't where you want it to be, you're not getting the sales results that you want, we've got to look at, is it the offer? Do people actually want what you're selling? I would say in my case, yes, I do have a retainer client in this package, and I have sold several done for you 9-grid packages. So it is a validated offer. People want it. Okay. So the offer's good. Well, the next thing we've got to look at is the audience. Are we selling it to the right audience? Are we talking to the people who actually need this product? That is debatable in my case. I'm not sure that I've been talking to the right audience. I'm not sure that I've been building the right audience. And it's hard to determine that because not only could it be the audience, it could also be the messaging. So it might be good messaging and you're talking to the wrong audience, or you might be talking to the right audience, but your messaging is off. So it's kind of like this chicken egg thing of which is it and what do we do? So again, I've been working, really for the last 6 months on super defining who is that ideal client, where are they hanging out so that I can find them and connect with them, and what is the messaging that actually is going to move the needle. And I talk about this with clients who are in the beginning stages of their journey, that creating content actually helps us clarify and refine our messaging. You know, my signature topic of how to step away from social media without sacrificing your visibility leveraging a 9-grid is something that I have now talked about on over 20 podcasts. So now I can talk about it way more effectively. Now I know the language that feels good to talk about it. But I wouldn't have gotten there had I not done that practice and tested things. So all of that to say, like, let's go back to the whole conversation about the data and what my email list is telling me, or what my email data is telling me, and what your email data might be telling you. You know, people will ask about, well, like, what's the industry average, or what's the baseline? Well, industry average for an email open rate is something around like 15 to 17%. So I could say, oh, well, my email open rate is 37. I should celebrate that because I'm beating the baseline. Or I'm beating the industry average, industry standard. Well, but my baseline was 45 to 50%. And it was even that number as my like audience was growing. It's just over the last couple of months, as I've refined my messaging, that it has started to drop. And so as my messaging has got clearer on the offers that I sell and how I help people, my audience has responded and, you know, sharing data of saying like, this is not for me. And so in my email, like I literally said at the bottom, like, hey, if you're still here, I appreciate you. I am cheering you on whether you are ready for my offers or not. And if you unsubscribe, no hard feelings. But man, that's hard to say, because every time we see those unsubscribes and we see our email list going down and getting smaller, we feel like we're doing something wrong. And let me tell you, from a personal perspective, when I was a store manager and like somebody would come in and return something, that was like a punch in the gut, because it hurts your sales numbers, right? And as a store manager, you're held accountable to a certain amount of sales. So you might be selling and doing a great job, but then you have this big return that you have literally no control over, and now you don't hit your sales goals. So from a business owner perspective, so when I was a store manager, if I bought something, I felt so bad about returning it. If I needed to return something to another person's store, because I like knew personally how it affected that manager on duty. As a business owner, I have a really hard time unsubscribing from other people's email list. And my email inbox is like literally out of control. It's so bad. I mean, I even tell people, if you need me, please DM me on Instagram, because I'm way more likely to check those messages than emails. But I know intellectually, logically, that it's okay if people unsubscribe. Because if I'm not for you and you unsubscribe from my emails, that means that it's making space for the people who are my people. So that was a lot to say. And it feels very vulnerable to share all of this, because I feel like on podcasts, people are always just talking about their wins and talking about all the amazing things that they're doing and, you know, being the expert. But I'm here to say that, like, this is an experiment. This is a constant experiment of shifting things, moving this lever, pulling this, you know, strategy, pivoting this thing over here, tweaking this message. It's always constantly changing. And we've got to keep using the data to make decisions and give it time, right? We talk about the success equation a lot here, that time plus consistency plus intensity multiplied by behavior or belief will equal your results. So sometimes we just have to give it time. So if you have questions or you like these behind the scenes confessions of what's really going on in my business, I would love to chat with you. And again, just like I said in my email, if you are ready for my high ticket offers, or someday that might be something that you're interested in, CMO level strategy plus implementation or a done for you 9 grid, that's great. I'd love to have a conversation about whether or not it's a good fit for you right now or in the future. If you're not, and you're like, I don't know if I'd ever be ready for that, but I like listening to Ruthie. I like, you know, we vibe on a personal level. I'm glad you're here too. It's not just about the ideal client. And my friend Kelsey Curtis actually teaches this in her book, Connection-Based Branding. It's about the community, because this business thing is a journey. And I said this on somebody else's podcast, and she used it as a quote, and I can't remember who it was, but it is about the journey more than the destination. And what makes the journey worth it is quite honestly the people that we surround ourselves with. You know, if you have to go on a road trip, you might be going to a really, really cool place, but that road trip to get there is going to be a lot more fun if you've got your favorite playlist on and your best friends in the car and fun drinks and snacks than if you're like by yourself or with a group full of people who complain all the time and listen to music you don't like and, you know, just want to not find solutions when you come up against problems. So the community that we surround ourselves with is incredibly important. And I appreciate you so much for being a listener of this podcast and being part of our community. And I'm cheering you on, whether you're a client of mine or not. I am rooting for other women in business, because when one of us wins, then we can all win. And when we share the real in real life, we highlight the real in the highlight reel of our content. It helps us all. It helps us all know that we're not alone and that we can help each other figure this thing out. Because, you know, when I decided to start a business, I decided to start an agency. The whole reason I wanted to do it is because I want to make it easier for women to be the people that they need to be, the moms they need to be, to take care of themselves and their families without having to work 24/7, without having to wear 800 hats, so that sometimes they can take off some of those hats and just be a person for a minute. So thank you for listening. I'm glad you're here. Like I said, DM me on Instagram if you like these types of raw behind the scenes real life episodes where I'm kind of just sharing my perspective shifts and what I'm going through right now. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Consistency Corner podcast. Be sure to connect with me on Instagram at Consistency Corner for more marketing made easy, mindset tips, and behind the scenes of working mom life. If today's podcast was helpful, I'd love it if you would leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share a screenshot and tag me in stories so I can cheer you on and learn more about how to support you in building a brand that truly sparks.